Alrighty, Monday night. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Big Footy Tiger Cast. Hope you're doing well from wherever you're tuning in from tonight. Shout out to our overseas viewers as well who tune in from all parts of the globe, which is kind of cool to have that happen. EJ, how are you, mate? What's going on?
Not much going on. I've just finished cleaning the house there. You can see that the piano is absolutely shining.
It's sparkling. It's sparkling.
Yeah, but nice quiet weekend. And it was a long weekend after, you know, the game was on Thursday night. I've had plenty of time to think about it. So,
what are your thoughts on that usually? I'm always torn. Like, if we win on a Thursday night, it sets the weekend up nicely. But when you have a loss, it can drag out a little bit, can't it?
Yeah, it can. But I think, you know, what the coach said in the press conference afterwards, there was a sense of pride from that performance. And so it's probably a little bit different to a normal loss, shall we say, because of the circumstances, which I'm sure we'll talk about. But so it's probably, it wasn't as bad as, like, if that had been a Thursday night and the Gold Coast result, it would have been a really shit weekend.
It would have been shit house. It would have been terrible.
But that was, no, that was pretty good.
No, I think that's a fair call. All right, as I put on the socials, I'm not going to do the announcement right now because that would be terrible of me to do that when everyone's starting to pile in. So there will be a bit of an announcement and a bit of show and tell later on, so make sure you hang around for that. CB might be joining us. The surprise isn't Tiggs coming on, unfortunately. He's still up against it. We might see Grok as well later on. There you go. He wants to, Mark wants to have the tune on the piano.
Mate, I can't even play chopsticks.
So an update on Tiggs for anyone who wasn't here last week. So he's still in recovery phase with the concussion. So the symptoms are still prevalent and still causing him some issues. So he won't be able to make it on for the near future, but he will hopefully be back, you know, when he's fit and healthy to do so. All right, with that said, first, before we get stuck into the Richmond game, obviously tonight, and it wasn't really too much of a surprise, EJ, but the Tasmania Devils have been announced as the new team to come into the comp when the logo and everything's been unveiled. I had to sit on that one for a couple of weeks because we did the footy for it, but the logo wasn't too bad. What do you think of the Guernsey? Just like the map is pretty much, it's pretty old school. They've had that before for a lot of their state league stuff.
It's a little bit vanilla. I hope they sort of run with that logo a little bit, and maybe, you know, for an away strip, you could wrap the logo around the side on a white jumper with, you know, with the Tassie colour trim or whatever. They've got the basics there that they can have a little bit of fun with. I suppose they were always going to launch with that traditional style state jumper. Over time, I think we'll probably see some changes. I'm pumped. I joined up on that mailing list thing and I get the updates all the time. I reckon it's great.
Someone in chat might know this, or you might even know this. Apparently, is the foundation member, like, is it $10 or $15 or something? Did I read that correctly somewhere? Maybe I'm wrong.
I'm not sure. I've donated some money at some point, but I don't know if I joined something or if I didn't. I get emails.
I think it's going to take off. Like, I know people are going to be a bit divided about the jumper and things like that, but that can evolve. That's something that can be easily updated, and it'll grow with time, I suppose.
Here we go, $10.
Oh, there you go, $10. So what does that get you? What is the $10? What does that get for you? And I think even outside of external people from Taz signing up to make things happen, I reckon people from Taz are going to jump on board for sure.
Yeah, for sure. You know, what they've always wanted, they haven't wanted these fly-in sides. I mean, they've patronised them pretty well anyway, but they just want something that they can call their own. You know, it's a proud place. And I'm interested and involved for a couple of reasons. My brother lives down in Tasmania, so I go down there at least once a year. I love the place. But when you think of the Richmond connection, we've got a really strong connection to Tasmania with our history as well. So,
absolutely.
Pumped.
Hilda from the NT, welcome. Glad to have you tuning in from Ayers Rock. Very, very nice. Now, I suppose the final part, I haven't broken the news yet or the little surprise I have. I'll do that a little bit later. The final piece of the Tassie puzzle is Brendan Gale is obviously going to be stepping up into a big role there, which I think once he knocks back the AFL gig, it kind of felt like that was odds on if the Tassie team eventuated. Like, it wasn't certain back then, but he might have known a little bit more than the rest of us. But you can't begrudge him. He's obviously got us to a very good point, and it makes sense for him to go back home and to get them up and running. They couldn't have a better person in that position to get them up and running.
Yeah, they couldn't. I was talking to CB today and I said, you know, the transformation is almost, you know, the broom has almost been completely put through the place over time. You know, the news that Barmy will go at the end of the year and he's not really involved that much anyway. Of all the people leaving, I think Benny hurts me. Just, I know why he's going, I get it, and I'm not upset, but there's just that little sting because he was one of my favourite players as well. And he's been with the club for more than half his life, you know. So it's just, I mean, he will definitely find it hard to leave as much as he's interested in doing what he's doing. You know, it won't be easy for everyone concerned.
And obviously we've got Neil Baum who's going to be leaving at the end of the season as well now. I'm not sure, was he going on to something else or is he just going to hang the boots up? I think he's probably best to retire and just kick back.
I don't think he's in the greatest health at the moment from what I can read in the reports. And he admits himself he's getting a bit moodier as well. So, and he had a meeting at their local coffee shop. And I don't think he realised, and he realised halfway through the meeting, oh, shit, they're winding me up. So,
right, okay.
Yeah, so, you know, that's all sort of been reasonably recent.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, it's a full changing of the guard, isn't it? We've got new coach, we've got new president, new CEO, new captains.
Well,
Clark's gone from recruiting. It's one of those things that once you have an element of success that you do end up ultimately losing a lot of your staff at one point or another. So it's more of a compliment in some ways than anything else. But, I mean, maybe a fresh start is exactly what we need.
Yeah. We've got to chain Livo to the desk, though.
Yeah, I know.
Well, it would be. I would definitely want him to stay around.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, we'll get stuck into the game side of things. Carlton 12-14-86 defeated Richmond 12-9-81 by 5 points on Thursday night. I suppose let's get the major negatives out of the way first and foremost. Gibkus doing his knee was just horrific to see. I'm sure every Richmond supporter's heart dropped when they saw him go down and was praying that it wasn't what we all thought it was. Just the path that he's gone on to get back to playing senior football and how excited he was, how excited we all were and everything else. To see him go down like that is just an absolute travesty. So we obviously wish Gibkus all the best in his recovery. But then we obviously had it compounded by losing Presti with a hamstring, which he himself said wasn't going to be the last time he did one. I think a day prior in an interview. And then Young with a concussion. So three players down for about 65% of the game wasn't ideal, as we welcome CB.
Oh, here he is. He's running on his own clock, this bloke. Fair dinkum.
Hi, everybody.
No,
so, yeah, it wasn't. No, not ideal.
No, not ideal. I mean, the thing for me is we've got some people on the edges that are close to getting a game, and you've got a bloke with known suspect hammies, and you've got a 4.5-day break, and you play him again.
Like, I was shocked he played.
Yeah. I mean, I know hindsight's a wonderful thing, but I think we all talked about it last week anyway, about the fact that maybe he would be rested for one of the two games. The fact that he wasn't and then he got injured was just it was frustrating, that one.
I noticed that as well, Kat. Gibkus was the one lining up, giving the high fives and pumping the boys up as they come out. So he does have leadership written all over him, CB, but the young fella is going to be missing for another year. And luckily he's got age on his side, but just shit-ass news.
To be honest, it just soured the whole evening. As much as I wanted to win, once Gibkus went down, it was just had that sick feeling in the stomach for the whole night. And it was just, I won't go over old ground. You guys have said it all. It just, I just feel for the kid. I mean, I just hope he comes back because he's a ripping young fella. And good luck. Good luck, Josh. Come back.
Yeah, exactly right. So with those things all in mind, I was honestly super proud of the way the boys fought the game out. And not often, I don't think I've ever used the term honourable loss because I think it's a little bit of a throwaway line. But I think if you were to ever pick a moment to use it, that might have been the closest one I could think of in recent times. When you sort of think about how highly touted Carlton are You know, they're touted to be top four, top six. We're probably touted to be outside the eight. We obviously had those three injuries within the game itself. No rotations, not to mention we're talking two key defenders down against Curnow and Mackay. Lynch and Martin coming back off injuries weren't meant to play as much as they maybe did. I thought it was a pretty brave effort by the boys, to be honest, and Uze, for that matter, to have the courage to throw some magnets around.
I thought, I guess what one of the big takeaways for me during the game was I think we have an absolute ripper in Uze. I think the man can coach. And while we're going to have some horrible losses, I think we'll have some good wins this year. But I think Uze really stepped up. And also the interesting thing for those who didn't hear the Uze interview on Friday with Gazy and Radar, I would recommend that anybody gets a chance to have a listen to that. If you want to hear what type of coach we have, just spend 10 minutes of your time listening to that interview and you'll find out an awful lot about why we have a very, very good coach at the club. I also want to say this, just on Prestia with his injuries, he can't come back into the team now. He must play some time in the VFL and build up some game strength. They can't just bring him back. I don't care what they think. It just can't. We can't afford to keep going a bloke down by quarter time, and it's happened three times already this offseason. So that's it. He can't do it. I hope Richmond's brave in the selection table and they use this as an opportunity, because with Prestia, Hopper and Taranto, we're a touch one paced in the midfield. This is our chance to inject a little bit of outside speed around the pill with Prestia out. So I hope, and I don't care. I'm not saying it's McAuliffe. I don't care. It's just an opportunity for Bolton or something. There's an opportunity there. I hope we're smart enough to take it.
I agree, EJ. I think for him, as soon as I saw him go off with a hamstring, I said 6 to 8 weeks straight away. It's not going to be your typical four-weeker.
I don't know. Well, apparently it's the other leg. Is that true?
I don't know. Oh, is it? I'm not. Okay, so it's the non-injured one.
In a weird way, that's a positive because there'll be less scarring there to start with. So, look, I agree we need to change the midfield mix up a little bit, but, geez, I reckon you're a bit harsh on Taranto, the leading pressure act person on the ground. Not too bad for a one-paced old hack.
Did you say he's an old hack? I'm just saying. There's a bit of sameness there. The thing about similar to Geelong's, there's a bit of sameness about it. We've got a chance to change it up.
Yeah, I think the midfield stood up really well on the weekend. We won contested ball. We won clearances. We won centre clearances. I honestly don't think the midfield was the glaring issue. The glaring issue was we were down two rotations and you had old man, and I will use the old man now, old man Grimes, standing on bloody Curnow and Mackay for parts of the game. And he was physically incapable of coping with it. And if we have the four rotations, if Prestia goes down, if we have the two key defenders, we win that game, plain and simple.
I don't disagree with that. I thought for large parts of the game, we looked pretty good too. And I think a big reason why we looked so good for large patches, I thought Nank's game was really, really good. Obviously, De Koning, as much as he's a good player, I wouldn't call him a fully fledged ruckman yet, just from maybe a size and a strength perspective. He obviously kicked the winning goal, so he obviously did his job. But Nank, you could see Nank was really on a mission to dominate in that part of the ground. And yeah, I thought he had a pretty good first game back. And I'm also really glad to see that Dow was given another chance, because I thought Dow had a pretty good game.
Yeah, he was serviceable. Yep. There were two standouts for me on the night. Vlosten was just immense down back. 11 intercept possessions, 495 metres game to go with it, 24 disposals, 6 tackles. And he ended up in the positive on the free kick count for him, which is an absolute once-in-a-blue-moon thing. He got 4 free kicks and only gave one away. And Bolter was fantastic. I think that obviously Lynch, even though Lynch mightn't have had the best game, Lynch being there from a structure point of view and drawing attention away frees Bolter up quite a lot. and he was very good when he went in the middle. He was the leading, he was our leading meters gain performer. Number one on the ground, 613 meters, 23 disposals, 8 intercept possessions as well to go with his 3 goals. Had a great game.
He was good, CB. I liked the setup. You're right, EJ. The setup of Bolt and Lynch was very, very dangerous, but I liked him relief rucking. I think that's his go-to because when he's actually in and around the ball, he gets active, he gets busy, and he starts to do things.
Well, it's exactly as Uzay called it. He said he sees Boulder in the Luke Jackson mold, that power forward, such a powerful unit to ruck and move around the ground. So, you know, we've only seen a small sample size at the moment, an even smaller size sample of how Lynch and Boulder will work. But, you know, it certainly looked like it's got some promise on Thursday night. And Uzay's said on Friday that Bolter will be playing forward again. He's not going to train him a whole offseason just to throw it the baby out of the bathwater in round two, because that's where we had round zero. So round two, yeah. So I had to think about that. So, yeah, Bolter will be starting forward again next week. So I would assume Miller will come in. Not sure how they cover the second tall. But let's face it, Charlie Dixon's a dud. Who cares? Put a piece of wood down there and it'll stop him. But, yeah, we'll see how it goes.
And to this point as well, Chris Bell, good point, because I know CB has said the same thing, that Hopper played another pretty good game. And I noticed as well that he was going head-to-head with Cripps. And look, Cripps is one of those guys that it's very hard to stop him for a whole four quarters. But I thought Hopper, you know, more than held his own in a lot of instances.
Yep. Yep. I mean, Cripps smashed everyone for contested possessions. He had 21, was number one on the ground by panels, but Hopper had 13 of his own. And I don't think, by Hopper going with him, I don't think Cripps, even though he got the contested possessions or whatever, I don't think he was as effective as what he could have been. So job done.
The other player I want to ask about, Marlon Pickett. Now, he probably a bit of a polarizing game, I think, CB, where in the third quarter, when we were on a bit of a chargeback, he was probably leading it in a lot of ways with the way he was hunting the ball, and he did some really, really good things. He also had some brain fart moments as well that made you kind of slap your head against the brick wall. But what did you make of his game firstly? And is he still the right man for the wing? I'm still not sure we've got someone who can give as good an output to replace him with yet.
I'll answer your question with a question. If we didn't have the 3 injuries this week, would he have still been in the best 23 based on that game?
In his position, I think he still would be. I still don't think there's anyone to take his spot yet.
I think there is, but I think because of the injuries we incurred against Carlton, I think he holds his spot regardless. But at the moment, quite frustrating when he can do the sublime and really take a game on and do some wonderful things, and then he'll just drop a basic chess mark or handball to the opposition, or it's just the inconsistencies of the game. It's wild. The good is good and the bad is Scheisenhausen. So how he bridges the middle. And you know what? He's not Robinson Crusoe there at the moment. Bolton needs to lift a bit as well, because his output has been sadly lacking the first 2 games.
Bolton's a much bigger concern to me than what Pickett is.
Yes.
Fair call, EJ. What's your concerns there? For me, it's he's not doing the basics well.
Oh, he's playing Hollywood football. There's no work rate involved in it. You know, great. He got 3 goals in the first week, but that was off 8 disposals. Look, I'm sure he'll turn it around, but it's been a pretty disappointing start to the season.
Mansell. I know Mansell's probably come under fire a little bit for that missed 5-meter snap, but do we see him still playing a part in the starting lineup as a pressure forward?
Currently, yes.
Yeah. At the moment, with the injuries, he's in the 23. I don't know if he's starting on the ground, but he's in the 23.
But I would say, depending on results, the VFL kicks off this weekend. Correct?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
I would say that there's a few boys whose positions are 50-50, and I would think Sonzi, Clark, Banks, McCall, if there's about 4 or 5 young blokes in here, they are hungry to get into this team. So hopefully, again, we're brave and we reward, unlike Australian cricket selectors, we actually reward form in the lower grades to the blokes who should be playing in certain positions.
Just on Sonzi, I'm a big rap for him, and I think he's eligible for the first time this week.
Yep.
But I think because of the brain fart that caused what happened, I think he has to earn his stripes for a week or two. But I really hope that we see him play more than half a season in the top side.
I don't think we'll see Sonzi this week because he didn't play last week in the VFL. So I think they will want to get matches him in some capacity. Before we push on to the VFL in its entirety, Chris, I actually enjoy what Maurice Verrelli brings to the team. I might be in the minority here, but I try not to get too caught up in the stats column. And I know four touches and a goal doesn't scream shooting the lights out, but the things he does off the ball that you don't get a stat for, the way he runs, harasses players and causes some panic in the opposition when they're kicking that causes a turnover or a long kick down the line, which is what we want, he doesn't get a stat for it, but shit, it's bloody helpful. And it is kind of falling to a similar mold to what Castagna was like. He was really good at pressure and running, wasn't hitting the scoreboard. And I know at some point we do need the numbers to start ticking over, but he created quite a number of chances with deft intercepts and some good running, some good pressure and good tackling. So I'm actually comfortable with what he does.
Go on, CB.
I think we need to temper our expectations a bit on this year to begin with. This is a year... The next 2 years, we're going to be a bit high-low, and we need to play these guys like MRJ to actually see if they've got it. We've got to start. This is our opportunity. I mean, our draft hand this year, if we actually have a shit year, our draft hand is that strong. Of all the years to have a bad year, this is actually the one with our draft hand. So currently... If the ladder didn't change, we'd have pick number 5 in the draft, and then a pick in the teens, plus a heap of others. So, I think
we're death riding a few teams as well.
What's that?
And we're death riding a few teams as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, we are. Actually. Oh, yeah. So I think we just need to temper the expectations on MRJ. But again, I see MRJ in the same vein as Hugo and a few of those boys. I think there's going to be a bit of to-ing and fro-ing and swapping between those positions during the year, but, you know, give them another go. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, you know, yes, you'd like him to get more disposals. That's a given. But top 5 in the team for pressure acts, and he's doing it all in one half of the ground. So he's doing his job. It's funny, before you mentioned Castagna, I was actually going to turn it around in a bit of a joking way and said, you know, like, we carried Castagna for whatever. And that was one thing that Dimmer said afterwards, you know, like, I wish I'd explained his role better and defended him from the hard time that he copped by some of our supporters. Maybe we get a different approach with Uze, and maybe we do get a bit of a background as to why he's in the team when, to some people's eyes, he's not producing enough. Maybe he's producing enough of the right stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Can I just bring a note? Have you discussed Seth Campbell yet?
No.
Not yet. No.
Liking this kid.
Yep.
He's got to stay in. He is showing something. I'm liking what I see there.
He's got a football brain.
Mm.
He's got a football brain. You notice when we're under pressure or whatever, he's run to position to provide outlets in wide spaces and stuff like that. It was natural. There was no that's where you'd say with a little bit with MRJ, definitely with Bolt or whatever, some of the stuff doesn't come to them straight away. This kid is a natural. He knows exactly what he has to do straight away.
And he's we cannot give him the nickname. We cannot nickname him Silk. Whatever we do, keep that nickname away
from this kid. It's cursed. Don't do it. Yes.
Oh, the kiss of death.
Oh, why did you have to say that word?
Lennon, Meyer, the list goes on.
Corey Ellis.
That's the one that I was thinking of.
Yeah, I was thinking I went to Corey Ellis straight away.
Oh, I saw this handball segment. Like, he handballed to Vickery in traffic, and then Vickery handballed it back to him, and then he sent a long handball thing. And this was in a practice of the first preseason. I thought, oh, this kid's going to be a gun. Oh, couldn't be more wrong.
Did you see Trent Cotchin's highlights on the front bar? And a lot of Tyrone Vickery's just in the background, like that those big inflatable things, you know, Trent kicks a goal. those car yard things. Is that anything he's good for?
All right, so we'll crack on to the VFL. So the practice games are now finished. We played the Blues last weekend and won by 54 points. The score is largely irrelevant. Goal kickers, though, McAuliffe 2, Juddy Clark 2, Lafau 2, Olden 2, Ryan Green, Brindley, Kaczynski, Coulthard and Street 1 apiece. I caught about 25 to 30 minutes of this while I was at work, and Lafau stood out tremendously with his work up forward. But then I saw him in the ruck at centre bounce. I'm like, what the hell's going on here? But he's a dangerous unit, and I really like him. I might be jumping the gun, but I want to see him in soon, just because I think he's going to make people shit their pants down defence. But I really liked him. McAuliffe, I think, looked really good. And Juddy Clark, I feel like Juddy Clark is a step above VFL level. I think he's just getting back some confidence and fitness for coming back from injury. I don't think it's going to be too long until we see Juddy Clark back in the ones, to be honest.
Lafau gives me movement. That's all I'll say. In the right ways. Well,
unlike you two blokes who the messages were popping up on my phone, I was working, so I didn't see a bloody thing.
I was in the office, and I saw on Twitter that you could watch it live. I'm like, oh, hello, I might bring that up on the screen. But no, Lafau was pretty good. So
yeah.
The real stuff starts this week for them.
If he was a stock, you'd put him on your watch list, wouldn't you?
100%.
I think you'd want to buy real soon.
He takes good contested marks too. I know one of his goals was a Joe the Goose out the back, but he does do a lot of good contested work as well. He's just not afraid. Like, he is see ball, get ball, and if you get in his way, he will hurt you.
Yep.
Which is nice. All right, before we get on to the Port Adelaide one, the big announcement, I don't think it's really an announcement, but we're looking to introduce merch by popular demand. Now, I think this one could excite a few people. I'll bring it up here. This is not the combined design. So we're wanting to do. I've got some like loose stubby holders here, some black stubby holders. Now I'm thinking this will be two different designs. I reckon we're going to go with it's lunchtime on a stubby holder, and then another version with the Tiger Cast logo. Unless we can fit both logos on the front and back, which we will explore. I've got to get some different coloured vinyl and have a crack at it. But it's lunchtime. CB, you coined that phrase many years ago, and it still to this day gets rattled off on all forms of social, and I'm so glad that it has taken off. But what do people think of the potential designs for a cheeky stubby holder? So it's a black stubby holder, and we'll see if we can get a lunchtime logo on it.
Yeah, so that silhouette of Lynch and the writing will be either white or gold, or white or yellow, and it will be a black background. So it's basically going to be a reverse of what you see there. And yes. The Bigfooty Tiger Cast will have black behind it.
That's right. So obviously you can see the logo on the top right corner. The black, to square it off, will just be the stubby holder colour. So, yeah, we'll do Lynch in white or yellow, and then whatever one we don't use, we'll do the writing in the other colour. So it's leather chaps. I'm not sure we're going to go down that path just yet, but... But yeah, so we'll have a crack at that. I'll hopefully have a printed one next week, and we'll see how they go. And I've been given green. Well, a while ago, I was given green light to do what we want with this. The chief's happy. So would love a we cap.
Have a very good working relationship with the chief.
Yeah, the chief. Honestly,
being a big Carlton supporter, we'll gladly send him a lunchtime stubby holder free of charge.
Yeah. I'm not even blowing smoke up our own ass, but he loves what we do. I think a lot of people on Bigfooty like what we do. They're non-Richmond, which is good. Yeah, that's Lynch. 100% that's Lynch.
Morgs is in here. I saw her earlier on. She'd love one. Absolutely. She can stick her cruisers in it.
That's it. If you've got any expression of interest, let us know. But I think we'll probably more look at that once we've got an actual physical product in hand that we can show off. So keep an eye out for that. But that is what we're working on. We'll hopefully now. So the I don't have one on hand, but they're just like the ones that got the fold at the bottom, and then it's just like a neoprene, I suppose. And we'll iron on the vinyl, and we'll see how it goes. Sarge, what did you say? I'll check that out. I'll have a look at that and then I'll get back to you. There we go. That is the designs we will look at, and we'll come back to you shortly. All right, on to the big game this week. Round 2 versus Port Adelaide, who are 5th, playing on Sunday, 24th of March, MCG at 4 p.m. Port coming off a pretty good win against West Coast over in Adelaide, although they did kick a shitload of behinds, didn't they? I suppose, first off, guys, the most obvious question to answer is, what are the changes to the side going to be? The outs are going to be, at a minimum, Prestia, Gibkiss and Young. Do we think anyone else will be set aside for this game, or do you think it'll just be the 3-4 changes, and who will come in?
I think we'll probably stick to 3 changes. There's some stat about the more changes you make, the less you the less likely you are to, like, if you make more than 4 changes or whatever, that it affects. I've just received a message from Nick Rarakis.
Oh, yes.
I have an announcement, Chris. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
I've been sidetracked.
No,
I've been sidetracked. He has Peter Wilson ready in the next 1 to 2 weeks.
A big chill.
Next 1 to 2 weeks. Okay. Very good.
Sorry, my heart, sugar. You broke my heart.
My phone went bing. So where was I? Yes, 3 changes. I think Miller is a no-brainer. I would get a little bit creative with the second tall coming in, and I'd bring Cozzy back in, but play him down back. And because he wasn't, I think he was an All-Australian under 18 as a defender. Like, he's got some chops down back. And for the small player to replace Prestia, the midfield player to replace Prestia, I have a suspicion it will be between McAuliffe and Juddy Clark.
Yeah. What about you, CB? What are you going with?
I totally understand EJ's logic. I don't know if I'll go with the Cozzy thing. I don't mind it. I'm not actually shit canning the idea of Cozzy coming back. I just don't know if I'd go with it, but it makes sense. Otherwise, yeah, Miller comes in. I really don't care who comes in to cover Prestia. I just hope it's a young one. If it's McAuliffe, I'm fine with it. If it's, you know, if they bring Bolton up into the midfield more with Martin, then they bring in Judson Clark, I'm okay with that. I'm sure they'll work something out. I just wonder defensively whether we'll go for a bit more run. And yeah, someone like Trezise comes in, and they decide to so Broad, does Broad take Todd Marshall or something like that? Do they switch it round and go, yeah, that team defense, and just try and bring it to ground and just run and gun and use the space of the G? So, you know, and Dylan Grimes will have to play a fairly big role in that. So,
yeah, definitely.
I can't pick a second defender.
Didn't you want Grimes out of the side last week, CB?
Mate, I'm spewing. If we didn't get those injuries, he wasn't in my best 23 at the start of the season, and I maintain that. But unfortunately now, due to injury, he's in.
So I've got McAuliffe coming in for Prestia. I think he's shown enough to have a crack at it. I've got Tom Brown and Miller as the other two defenders coming in. But Trezise, I don't mind the idea of either. I think Miller has to come in at a minimum, just purely from a height perspective. And then Brown or Trezise, I would be equally okay with either to have them come in and play a role.
Actually why I went with Cozzy, because Port are quite tall down forward. They've got Marshall, Finn, Lason and Dixon.
Mm.
So they're quite stacked up top. I think there needs to be definitely Miller, but then someone else of good. How big is Brown?
I'm not too sure of his numbers, but
we're not allowed to know those things anymore, mate. You don't know heights.
Oh,
weight.
Yeah, we're not either.
We're having a height shame or fat shame, people.
Well, yeah, Trevor's gone with 193. We'll run with that.
Oh, okay. That's decent size.
Yes, I reckon he could be in line to get a game. Now, the game's going to be won or lost in a lot of areas, but I think we can all, unfortunately, universally agree that Port's midfield is pretty stacked for talent. Rosie, Butters, Wines, Boak, Horn, Francis are all very, very, very good players in their own right. And they're a reasonably quick midfield too, which has been our Achilles for quite some time. But yeah, maybe the Prestia out, someone else in could help balance that up, EJ. But how do you try and stop a midfield like that? How do we try and get on top? Soldo obviously did the ruck work for him last week and was pretty good. We've got Nank and maybe Nace with him might play a role in some capacity too. If we don't quell their midfield or at least break even in some parts, it could get ugly.
Yeah, it could. I think we'll go okay. I think everyone was telling us we were going to get absolutely belted by the number one contested midfield in the competition last week. And we won the contest inside. Breaking away from stoppage is the area of concern for me. Not so much the stoppage itself. If Tirano and Hopper, and whoever comes in for Prestia and Martin, whatever, get their fair share of clearances and stuff like that, we'll be fine. It's the breaking away from stop. It's the defensive setup at stoppage that is the concern for us.
CB?
End of the day, they've got a fantastic midfield, but, we were meant to get belted in midfield last week and we performed admirably. So, I think I'm curious to see if Soldo, he rocks up and he's got a point to prove and really has a crack, or that'll be fascinating watching Nankervis and Soldo go at it.
Mm.
But, no, I still think the Tigers will win on the day. I actually think we'll win by 2, 3, 4 goals. I feel all right.
The other sticking point for me is the strength of the Port Adelaide backline with Aaliyah and Radicalia being able to intercept Mark, and a more so with the way we play. Like, if we just keep blast kicking in there, I don't think things will pan out well for us. No matter who we've got down there, it'll be too easy to cut off. But this is where using the athleticism of Bolter on the move is probably our way to break it open, because one of them's going to take Bolter. It just has to happen. But if he can get on his bike and drag one of them a little bit further away, Mark it, wheel around, and we can have Lynch maybe isolated on the other one, that could be our best chance.
Yeah. I think Aaliyah would have to go to Bolter from an athletic point of view, which leaves Radicalia on lunchtime, and that's a matchup that I really like. I think that Uze said that he really likes the potency of our forward line with that mix that he had last week. And, it did function well, even with Lynch a little bit underdone. When Lynch, hopefully a week down the track, a bit more solid, et cetera, et cetera. And yes, they are great intercept markers, but what Lynch brings particularly is an accountability. You cannot sag off him. You cannot sag off Lynch. He was getting double teamed last week. So if he's getting double teamed, that means they've definitely got one less interceptor available.
I think a good point. If we can keep him accountable, and you're right, those two players can do it. And yeah, if there's ever a time that we need our forwards to fire and get dangerous, this is it. Like, you would love to see us lower our eyes early, hit some good targets inside 50 and have some shots on goal. Because the moment we start reverting back and blast kicking, it could get a bit ugly. What about our slingshot football from the back half? It was kind of on display a bit last week, and it seems like it's something we've really amped up a little bit. We also had Dan Rioli loves to burst through the middle of the ground, and Jaden Short as well. Is that going to be something that's sustainable against all teams on a weekly basis, let alone quality teams like Port? Like, there's an element of danger to it, I guess, isn't there?
Yeah. Oh, good teams do it, mate.
High risk, high reward.
Yep. Speed kills.
Speed kills. And for their setup from the halfback, Kane Farrell usually does a little bit of work there, EJ. Do we have a defensive minder on someone like him, or just let our halfbacks do their, or our half forwards do their thing? Because that's something that Mansell could do, really, if we needed him to.
Yeah, well, that's sort of where, Morris is providing the pressure and the chase and So Baker and MRJ were both top five for pressure acts last week, right? And they're playing high half forwards and forward pockets, stuff like that. So I think that takes care of itself. And I think that our natural speed, if we're bringing it in well, which will again, we'll have them accountable and less able to rebound freely. It took Rioli a fair while to get going from a rebound perspective last week. Same thing, you know, if early doors, if they're getting the ball in, we have to be accountable. So it all depends on how the game is panning out at the time. But I think we've got enough pressure down there that that's not our major area of concern.
No, it's going to be a fascinating game. Before we get some tips and margin, the tail did send me through a trivia question in relation to Port Adelaide. So before this week, we have played Port Adelaide 39 times. How many of those have been in Vic?
Oh, I knew the answer to this last year because I looked it up. It's a ridiculously imbalanced number.
It is 12 times, 8 at the G, 4 at Docklands. So we've had 26 in South Australia, 15 at Footy Park, 11 at Adelaide Oval, and 1 in Darwin. Unbelievable. There you go. So a little bit of trivia there. No tarps this weekend. No tarps this weekend. Very good. All right. Well, we'll get a tip in, including margin for this one. Make sure you send them through and chat as well. We'll pop a few up on the screen. CB, I know you said the Tigers are going to win, but what do you think we're going to win by?
Well, given Sci-Fi Genetics wants, you know, he's fascinated by my call. I was going to say 2-4, but now I'm going to say 60 points just based on Sci-Fi Genetics. So I've listed the margin.
Fair enough. EJ, who's winning by how much?
The Tigers by Jason Castagna.
Which number? 11 or the original?
That's the beauty of the statement.
That's the mystery of it. I'm really surprised because, look, to be fair, I know it's a Richmond-based show, but even last week, a lot of people sending tips through were picking pretty logically and picking Carlton because they thought we weren't going to win. But a lot of people do actually give us a chance, which is interesting. I'll say Tigers by 7. I just hope that we're not too cooked from last week because that was an almighty effort just to hang into the game with Carlton. And hopefully we have a bit of a longer break, which helps, I guess. But yeah, hopefully we're not too cooked by the end of it. But good to see a few tips coming through. Actually, before we finish up, what about having Brisbane and Collingwood 0-2 just quietly?
I actually hit CB up with a stat this afternoon.
Go on.
The VAFL was formed in 1897 or whatever, 1896, whatever it was. It is the first time in league history that both grand finalists have started 0-2.
Wow. Okay. There we go. I mean, it's a long season. There's time for them to come back, but it's interesting, CB, seeing them down there.
Oh, I tell you what. Bruce, got him off me, Bruce. What a stat, Bruce. I got to say, now, I'm not encouraging gambling. We don't ever encourage it in the show. Richmond's currently at 265, Port Adelaide 149. That's all I'm saying.
And I'm saying there's a couple of other games where I think that the prices are ridiculously out of whack at the moment. And I won't bring them up because we don't encourage gambling on this show, but if you are that way inclined, go and look at the markets and they will stand out. I do have one issue that I would like to raise.
Yes, go on.
How weak is AFL House? Is it possible for them at any level to admit that there is a mistake being made? Instead of ticking everything off and saying, oh, no, that's, we're happy with that and blah, blah, blah. Right? That free kick to Dangerfield for contact below the knees was ticked off by Laura O'Kane this afternoon.
Really? Okay.
Who was the person on the stocker? He was doing nothing but going for the ball. He didn't dive. He sort of stumbled and tripped. Dangerfield was never at the contest first. And then what he did is he got to him and then jumped over him. And the contact was actually first made by Dangerfield to his head. But then the contact was the knee as he jumped over. There was no contact below the knees. It was a horrible decision on so many levels, but yet again, ticked off by the AFL, who also ticked off Ryan Myers pinging the football boot half the width of Cadinia Park.
Yeah, I'm surprised nothing come of that. Just from, I know it's very minor, but I thought he was going to get in a bit of trouble for it. Not suspension, but I thought maybe a fine or something for unsportsmanlike conduct or something. But the argument will be that it was no H&S issue being in his way, I suppose, is the counter argument.
Bullshit.
Yeah,
Tom,
I know.
Tom Stewart played his usual dog game sniping as well. Just putting it out there.
Oh, dear. And 70 metres to deconing. I had to bring it up. 60 metre penalties.
Let's not go down this path, Michaels. We'll never finish the show.
No, all good. All right, well, I'll put this up there again. So keep an eye out for a couple of stubby holder designs we'll whip up in the coming weeks. We'll do a It's Lunchtime, which this will be reversed. This will be a white or yellow Tom Lynch and the whatever the colour we don't use for that. And then we'll do a big Footy Tiger Cast one as well. So if you've got any interest, shoot us a message or do something to flag interest and we'll get some made up and we'll see how we go. But gents, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Much appreciated.
Pleasure.
And make sure whatever you're listening to us on, whether it's YouTube, Twitter or X, whatever it's called now, Facebook, give it a like, a subscribe. I think we're over 800 subscribers now on YouTube, which is awesome. So thank you very much for everyone's support. Let's roll on to 900 and then try and close in on 1,000 by the end of the year. But hopefully the Tigers can get the job done this weekend. Now, it is a couple of milestones for Port Adelaide, and we are the Port Adelaide milestone killers, as Kane Corns has not let go of for quite some time. So let's hope we can ruin the party for Boak. And there was someone else who had some type of milestone. But anyway, hopefully we can get the win, and we will see you all next week. Sorry, Sebby, did you have something?
And I'll just say this, speaking of Kane Corns and his baiting and stupidity, which is relentless on Richmond, please, rather than bite and give him air, support the Tiger Talk podcast. Support the independents like us. There's that many good little Richmond podcasts and, you know, bigger ones like the one on the Richmond thing, where you'll actually just get unbiased, normal conversation without clickbait and bullshit. So do yourself a favor. Just turn that shit off. Don't give it air. Don't even respond to a moron like Kane, because it's just, it's not worth it. It's just, life's too short.
That's all. No, you're right. The other podcast, the official one and stuff like that, you know, they're good fun as well. You know, I know that tomorrow afternoon or whatever, when it's released, I'll always whack it on for the drive home or the Wednesday drive to work.
Yep.
Don't get sucked in. It's all bait. If you take it, you're an idiot.
Support local, guys. Support local. This is the equivalent of that.
Jones Racing loved Cochin calling Corns out.
Oh, did he?
I don't watch much TV, but someone sent me a clip from that Talking Footy show, and Cochin actually said he can't believe Corns has said this is his. He's obviously still salty from the fact that we beat him in his 300th game. He actually called it out on TV.
Very good. That's so good. All right, guys. Thank you so much for joining tonight. Thank you to everybody for tuning in. Much appreciated. We appreciate the love and support greatly. Make sure you keep chatting to us on Twitter and Facebook and everything like that. And hopefully the Tigers get the W on Sunday and we can come back on Monday. Happy campers. So until next time, go Tigers.
Go Tigers.